Thanks for inviting me into your home. Your long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi. Your parents' well-appointed basement with the simulated wood paneling, electric fireplace, and the painting of dogs playing poker. Your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. Welcome to Coast AM, the very best in late-night talk radio. I'm Richard Serrett, and tonight, this morning, I'm coming to you live from my home studio here in old Thornhill Village just north of Toronto. I don't have a dog. But after reading Master Dog Trainer Jesse Sternberg's book, Enlightened Dog Training, Becoming the Peaceful Alpha Your Dog Needs and Respects, I realize why I really need a dog. I need a dog in my life, in my family's life. We are dog people, sadly, without a dog. It's complicated. But I think I understand now why we humans need dogs. It's not just a want, it's a need. As Sternberg points out, dogs are our reflections. They absorb our unconscious baggage. They're experts in the art of present moment living. They exist to bestow better virtues upon us. And if we can learn the secret language of dogs, and in just a few minutes we will, we become healthier, more grounded, supporting and loving leaders of our own families. If you are a dog parent or you're thinking of becoming a dog parent and welcoming a dog into your home, you'll want to hang in these next 2 hours. And Jesse Sternberg will be with us. He's not a dog whisperer. That term is so overused. The dog whisperer, the horse whisperer, the ghost whisperer. Jesse Sternberg doesn't train dogs. He teaches and guides humans. You may find yourself totally rethinking the way you interact with your dog companion after tonight. And I think you'll also find that Jesse's words will reinforce that old adage that while dogs are not our whole lives, they make our lives more whole. You'll meet and hear from Jesse coming up in hours 1 and 2. A few days from now, the winter solstice, December 21st, marks the one-year anniversary of a very important celestial event, the Great Mutation. The alignment of the planets Saturn and Jupiter in the sky, marking a return of Saturn's rule in the heavens and the official beginning of the Age of Aquarius. According to some, the dawning of a new golden age. A new golden age for whom? For worshippers of Saturn? Who is Saturn? It turns out this Roman god Saturn has gone by many names throughout history. Cronos, Baal, Molech, El. He was worshipped by ancient Mesopotamians and the Ammonites. The Philistine giants of David's day worshipped the sons of Saturn. Saturn's name was changed to Molech, and he demanded child sacrifices. In all his forms, Saturn has been connected to the underworld. So what does the re-emergence of Saturn mean for mankind? Derek P. Gilbert hosts the Daily News Analysis Program 5 in 10 for Skywatch TV and co-hosts the weekly video program The Bible's Greatest Mysteries and Unraveling Revelation with his wife, author, and analyst Sharon Gilbert. His new book is The Second Coming of Saturn, The Great Conjunction, America's Temple, and the Return of the Watchers. He'll be here in hours 3 and 4 to discuss how powerful people believe the stars have aligned to bring back the old god Saturn, the occult symbols embedded in the United States Capitol that point to the return of Saturn's reign, why Lucifer is Saturn, not Satan, and evidence that Saturn was the leader of the rebellious sons of God. But coming up first, Jesse Sternberg offers common sense solutions to everyday canine behavioral problems and yet offer further proof that, as writer Agnes Turnbull once wrote, dogs' lives are too short. Their only fault, really. Welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler, hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come warm yourself by the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. I'm Richard Serrett, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Why don't you stay a while? Jesse Sternberg is a mindfulness teacher, meditation instructor, and master dog trainer, the founder of the Peaceful Alpha Project. He's been working with animals for more than 30 years. He lives in Toronto, Canada, and his new book is Enlightened Dog Training, Becoming the Peaceful Alpha Your Dog Needs and Respects. Jesse, welcome to Coast. How are you?
Hello, Richard. I am just on a high-flying disc being here. This is such a cool show.
Thank you. We're glad to have you aboard. And we might be neighbors. I'm up here in north of Toronto in Thornhill. What area of Toronto are you located?
I am a little bit more downtown, and that's very cool. What a small world. I'm down on St. Clair Avenue.
Ah, yes. All right. I used to work at Young and St. Clair, a radio station there many, many years ago. When did you realize, Jesse, you needed dogs in your life?
Ooh, well, I think I was born into a home that there was a sheepdog there by the time I was born, and we had dogs growing up. So I only knew that experience, to be honest with you. In my 20s, I went a few years without having a dog, and then I sort of got married and got my own dog, and just the magic started happening from that moment onward.
And when you realized that you were going to work with dogs, you were going to run a doggy daycare, which,
right,
you know, are becoming increasingly popular these
right.
days.
Right.
And you wanted to work with dogs. You read everything. You went to the dog parks and you talked to dog walkers and you talked to vets and you read, you know, the Dog Whisperer and the original Dog Whisperer, and you read a book by monks who trained German shepherds. What were they all missing? There was something missing.
Well, yeah. Traditionally, we think of dog training and we're training the dog's behaviors. Come here, stop there, sit down, lay down, stay, shake a paw. I think what's missing is that dogs have feelings, and they use feelings. They make feelings, actually. They're a lot more sophisticated than we are in their emotional intelligence. So what's missing is that, why do you even need to train a behavior? You know, on a farm or in nature, we're not training animals' behaviors. We're connecting with them. We're working with them. We're in sync with them. And so there's a reason why dogs misbehave. And the reason why they misbehave, and when I say misbehave, I just mean lunging, jumping, whining, even not listening. When they're doing that thing, the thing that I realize is that they have a strong feeling that's happening. Almost always it's fear or excitement. And we tend to think that excitement is like a good thing. But the kind of excitement that I'm describing would be like you're going up a roller coaster and it's like clicking up to the top, click, 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 and your chest is thumping. That kind of excitement is cool for about 10 seconds, but if it persists for a long time, or if, you know, if our friends and our family have conditioned us to go to that height and stay there, and it's just so uncomfortable. So when these feelings are really strong in them, they just act them out. And that's not a lot different than what people are like. You know, we tend to act their behaviors out too. Without thinking about it.
Yeah, you talk about dogs and feelings. That's all. They're all feeling, right? They're all emotion. And you describe that's the way that dogs think is. I think the words you used is their brain is in their heart.
Yeah. Their brain is in their heart. They're total empaths.
So you describe I guess it was about the second year into your business as a doggy daycare, and I think you did some grooming. And one particular rainy day, instead of having your typical pack, let's call it, of 15 dogs, clients, 15 dogs, because it was a rainy day, suddenly you show up for work and you've got 36 hounds, 36 pooches inside on a rainy day, and it just bedlam
right.
happens.
Right.
Yeah. Tell me what happened and what you had this aha moment.
Yeah, that was my first eureka moment, because up until then, I was trying all the traditional training methods with my pack, and one of the trainers that I really resonated with, her name is Turid Rugas, and she's out of Europe, and she writes about these postures that dogs use called calming signals. And I had just sort of been soaking, marinating in that literature. And as you were saying, it was just mayhem in the pack. And actually, one of the dogs was so rambunctious. She was like running, and to stop herself, she just like jumped into the wall and literally like a hockey player body checking someone into the boards. She went through the boards, and that was like a panic moment for me, because it was like my worst nightmare. What if this dog got hurt? What if like a dog got hurt on my watch? My anxiety went through the roof. And I sort of had a spiritual awakening in that, because just clarity came. Instead of running from that moment, I just kind of meditated for a moment. Clarity came. I went back and I was observing the pack as if I was like a baby. And what I was reading about the calming signals, it just came to life. I started seeing a symphony of these signals. Dogs were signaling to each other, you know, this is my ball, don't take my ball. Okay, I'm walking by you and I'm not going to take your ball. You don't need to be threatened by me. I was seeing dogs who were less socialized and a little bit older, not wanting to play and mix it up. I'm seeing them showering calming signals at the rambunctious puppies, just as communication, saying, hey, little guy, leave me alone. And they would leave. Oh, I'm running by you. Don't worry. I'm not coming for you. So that was the beginning of, whoa, these guys are talking to each other. And they're never not talking to each other. And that just whet my appetite. I can't really say how it came into my mind, other than that, you know, the more you put your attention on something, the more it reveals itself to you.
Right, right. So, and so you began to understand the what you call the secret language of dogs.
I began to understand half of it. Then I started doing some experiments with the dogs in my daycare, because calming signals is only one side of the emotion creating. But there's a whole other side to generating feelings, and there's a conflict generating action. And so there's basically calming actions and there's conflict generating actions. Now, no dog wants to go into conflict. No animal wants to go into conflict. That's why there's dozens of calming signals. There's only one conflict action, and there's an angle in nature. And if you pay attention to like watching animals, four-legged animals, birds, animals on land, they will never look into the eyes of another animal unless they mean business. And by business, I mean I'm going to take that asset, or I'm protecting or I'm sending you a signal. Now, that direct eye contact, or forbidden angle that I call it, people don't like it either. We had to socialize our children into making that normal.
Right. I mean, it's right up there with a firm handshake. Always look somebody in the eye when you're speaking with them. But as you say, that's social taboo in the rest of the animal kingdom.
It's totally social taboo. Now, here's something that's really interesting about feelings is that you can make eye contact from 50 feet away, and that's like, let's say, volume level 2 out of 100 of do we have a problem? Is there conflict coming? If you reach a handout, or if you walk in a straight line, or if you make your body taller while you're making eye contact, all of those things intensify the feeling. Let's call that feeling contrast. I used to call that feeling fear. But I don't think people really have an evolved relationship with fear. I think we avoid it. I don't think we appreciate its nuances. But animals have a totally different relationship with fear. With them, it's not... With them, it's almost righteous. Like an eagle will chuck her babies out of the nest. Could you imagine how scary that is for them? But then when they fly, it's like the whole world opens up for them. So
right.
Using this, the idea of becoming the peaceful alpha that your dog needs and respects is sort of understanding the love behind all of these emotions, the higher love.
Jesse Sternberg is the author of Enlightened Dog Training, Become the Peaceful Alpha Your Dog Needs and Respects. And by alpha, you mean the leader of the pack, essentially, right? That's what the alpha dog does.
Well, I would like to take a moment and sort of clarify alpha too, because alpha is a trigger word in the dog training community because it's associated with dominance. The idea of acknowledging that as a human, you're a steward of nature. All of nature acknowledges that, sort of, I think, but humans. So we bring a dog into our home. Of course that dog thinks that we're the leader. Why don't we start to behave like that? And to behave like that from our perspective is sort of a force, but to behave like that from the animal's consciousness, from that perspective, that requires us to sort of train ourselves to be a little bit different in our behaviors, just in the way that we carry our posture to begin with. So the idea of becoming the peaceful alpha is that you earn that status with benevolent action. Action that keeps your dog's emotion not too excited, and trusting. So you basically quell their fears and you temper their excitement so that they appreciate their existence so much. The result of this is that your dog, you don't really have an emotionally volatile dog. You actually have a really calm dog, like as calm as like a horse or a cow. It's so unique because we don't have that. We don't see that every day.
Right. It's that, I think you describe it as that tranquil neutrality. Tranquil neutrality, I think is the word you use.
Yeah, man, you did your homework. That is exactly what I call it. So being able to generate the feeling of tranquility is what nature does. And the way that we do that is by being present with our dog without really ever triggering that confrontational conflict angle by accident. That's how you create tranquility. And the beautiful thing about that is when you have a momentum of creating tranquility, you have two other emotions that you can throw out and they mean something. You can throw out love or joy or happiness in a moment when you like what your dog is doing. Your dog immediately realizes, okay, great. You like that, more of that. And they can feel that when there's a vibe of calmness, quietness, tranquility, peacefulness.
Right. That's when the dog, to me, is I would guess, at his happiest, because that's what dogs do best, right, is living in the present. For dogs, that's all there is that present moment. It's the dog being very zen. We'll take a quick time out and come back with Jesse Sternberg, master dog trainer, Enlightened dog training, becoming the peaceful alpha your dog needs and respects, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. S. Why? Because I love you, R-E-double-T. Well, we've been talking about dogs, so I thought I'd share a news story with you about Rover. No, not the pooch named Rover, but the Mars Rover. And it certainly has been an event-filled year for the car-sized Rover, which, having launched in July 2020, landed on the surface of the Red Planet back in February, beginning a whole new era of exploration on Mars, with the ultimate goal of determining if life may have once existed there. Fast forward 10 months, and now, scientists this week have revealed that the rover's exploration of Jezero Crater has yielded the discovery of organic compounds in the dust and rock. While these don't necessarily mean that there is or was life on Mars, and such compounds have been found on the Red Planet before, the discovery is significant because it shows that the rocks on Mars are capable of preserving them and potentially evidence of life as well. You can read more in the In the News section up at coasttocoastam.com. Back with more of my conversation with master dog trainer Jesse Sternberg when Coast to Coast AM continues. You want your dog to be stoic, you want your dog to be well-tempered, and a naturally obedient companion. And the key to achieving all of those things might be discovering the secret language of dogs. Jesse Sternberg is a master dog trainer and the author of Enlightened Dog Training, Become the Peaceful Alpha Your Dog Needs and Respects. I love this this part where you talk about the way the your dog communicates in one of three ways. He's either telling you, I want to calm down, or he or she's telling you, you need to calm down. And number three, something in this environment needs to calm down. Can you just kind of expound on all those three?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so there are, I'm going to list, let's say, the five most simple actions that I see dogs make all the time. And these are all calming signals. Your dog blinks at you. Your dog licks its lips. Your dog yawns. I call this next one magic paw. You ever see your dog kind of curl the front paw up? Or
yes.
Even lay down with the front paw curled? These are all calming signals, okay? And when we begin to tune into our dog's postures and we start to realize that they're making a communication with us, our job is to tune into, like, okay, which of those three is applicable right now? I can give you a few examples, okay? Your dog's laying on the floor in the hallway and you want to walk through the hallway and get to the kitchen. You're not thinking about this, but you're actually walking in a straight line towards your dog's head. And, you know, that's how your dog's viewing it. Of course, you're not doing that. What that is like intensifying the communication of that line of the forbidden angle. So your dog's probably going to, like, give you a signal if you're paying attention. It might move away, move backwards, move down, look away from you, yawn, lick its lips. In this situation, he's telling you, yo, chill out. I'm resting here. You're coming at me with the forbidden angle.
Wow. And yawning is interesting because I just always assumed before I read Enlightened Dog Training that a dog is yawning like the rest of us yawn because the dog is tired, had a rough sleep. No, that's a calming signal. The dog is telling us to chill out.
Well, yes and no, because he's also chilling himself out by that involuntary action. That action is a chill-out action. So we have stressed him by walking down the hall, and we are now realizing, oh, man, that was our fault. We did that. I did that to you. So just a quick point on that. Animals go to great lengths on purpose to walk in an arc around that forbidden angle line. So because that means I'm coming peacefully. I'm moving.
That's why they walk in semicircles.
It Exactly. That's why you can't, that's why every dog is bad on the leash, because you're walking on a straight line up a sidewalk towards other dogs, and you've got them restrained. They feel in their bodies that they're going into conflict.
Interesting. We humans are so linear.
You're sharp. You're sharp. Let me give you another example. Your dog's sleeping and you jingle your keys because you're getting ready to go to work, and your dog has an excitement conditioning happening. Maybe he thinks he's going for a car ride, but he's not. He realizes he's not, so he gives a calming signal there to tell himself, okay, big boy, let's calm down. Nothing's happening here. A third example would be the garbage truck. 10 houses down the road is just rattling the earth, and your dog can feel that because he's so super sensitive, and he's giving a warning to everybody. Hey guys, something sketchy's going on out there. Just want you to know something sketchy. I detected it. So as we begin to, in the book, I've got a great diagram of all of the different postures that represent calming signals. And you just glance at that and you get like this eureka. Oh, yeah. Okay. I know when my dog does this. I see him do that. And then the idea of the enlightened approach to it is that we begin attuning ourselves moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to our dog's signals. And we actually start to connect to them so much more. Because we realize that when it's laying down and avoiding making eye contact with us, he's doing that to communicate to us, I love you, I'm calm, I'm happy, I'm joyful, I'm connected to you. It's just so different than like what we try to do, which is like, I don't feel connected to my dog, I just want to go look at him. I want to soul gaze into her eyes. Of course,
mistake.
When we do
that, mistake.
Right. When we do that, we dilute our power of being peaceful.
Right. You say that we're creating a neurosis. We're creating neuroses in the dog because while we're saying I love you and we're looking right into the dog's eyes, while we think we're communicating love, the dog looks at that as anger.
Dogs feel it, okay? So the dogs are feeling two conflicting emotions. It's a total mind fuck. They're feeling love and...
Oh, you got to be careful of that language. Yeah, got to watch that language.
Pardon me.
It's confusing to the dog. Let's just say it's confusing to the dog.
Very strong mixed message.
Yeah.
They can actually feel the high vibration of love. And they can also feel worry or anxiousness. Something's not right now. What are you trying to tell me to stop? What are you trying to tell me to stop doing? And, you know, you can do that a couple of times and get away with it. But if that's their life, it's a little bit neurotic.
You also say that they absorb all of our unconscious baggage. And often, you know, people will pet a dog. Because, you know, the owner is feeling, or the dog parent, let's say, is feeling anxious. And so to relieve their own anxiety, they start petting the dog. But they're transferring that anxiety onto the dog simply through the act of this repetitive, habitual petting.
Yeah, this unconscious petting it's really therapeutic for humans. I mean, that might be the number one thing we love about our dogs. You have a rough day, you go home, you pet your dog, and you feel better. I'm a huge advocate of that, too. I think if you want to tap into the law of attraction and bring some magic into your life, pet your dog all day long because it feels good. But the flip side is recognize that you're transferring your energy into them. So... it's a balance of give and take. It's a relationship.
Tell me about Zeus. This was a German Shepherd owned by an older woman, maybe 70 years old, and she had this giant, this German Shepherd. I think she lived on a 12th floor of an apartment building in downtown Toronto, and she was in a panic. Tell me about your how you dealt with Zeus.
Sure. Well, he was one of my favorite clients. I mean, I remember coming up the elevator, and I remember getting off the elevator and sort of looking down the hallway and seeing one of those cute signs, you know, beware guard dog kind of on the apartment. And I could hear a big bark, you know, already sensing someone's coming up the floor. This is just a classic case of big, strong, scary looking dog, a little bit, well, completely misunderstood, because one of the best emotional strategies when you're feeling scared is to try to control the environment. We do that. That's just a human thing. It's also a nature thing. And so this guy would lunge and bark at just about everybody, at people in the building, at other dogs. And it was like a mismatch of a relationship, because it's a big, strong, powerful dog with a gentle older woman. And so the approach was just to sort of understand this guy's perspective. He was really a gentle giant. He needed communication coming from his mom. And his mom was exactly as you described, a nervous Nelly, a nervous petter. Didn't really realize that the dog was absorbing all of his energy, and she had no confidence leading him around, because obviously every time she did, he would be aggressive. And so I taught her how to walk. It was such a simple lesson. I taught, she was using a 2-foot leash on this guy too. So if you're feeling a little bit scared and you're restrained, you've got nowhere to go, offense becomes the best defense. So instead of, you know, being calm, meeting other people, he was just so fearful. So what we did was we lengthened the leash to 6 feet, which is counterintuitive, but it allowed him to go much wider in that arc shape around pretty much anything that was approaching us in a straight line, a baby carriage, a skateboarder, other dogs on the sidewalk. I taught her about the angle of protection, which is basically put your body in between what your dog is scared of. And don't stare at your dog. Pivot around, keep your back to your dog, almost like you're the bodyguard of a nightclub. We see this with like little chihuahua, little small, tiny dogs. They'll actually walk behind their masters or their owners. That's protective stance. You see it in nature too. I've seen a moose on the side of the road with his baby moose behind it, and he's posturing up to the people who are on the highway taking pictures. He's in front, okay, and he's like being the bodyguard. So get into the posture of protection and make a nice exaggerated wide arc around any dog that's approaching you, okay? And so that might sound complicated to do, but what people don't realize is that your dog knows that you can see further than him. You can see much further and with more clarity than your dog, just like they can sense better than we can. They can smell better than we can, hear better than we can, feel like sensations better than we can. So you're walking your dog. You see something coming at you in a straight line. It's 50 feet down the road. All of a sudden, you're training yourself to walk with your chin up and your eyes up, which is a leadership posture. You're walking, looking at your dog, or you're constantly afraid something's coming. Oh, this is another thing his mom would do. She would see a dog coming, and she would start choking up on that 2-foot leash, and she would start tensing up, and she would even start saying, oh, Zeusie, it's okay. Can you hear the love in my voice when I'm saying that? It's almost
right.
It's almost a praise. And what she praising? She's praising him for feeling afraid. So it's another bit of a confusing message because, well, the dog wants to please his mom. So we cut out the nervous talking. We started walking in silence. And we started to get into that posture of protection the second we saw the dog or something approaching us. And we just do a gentle arc as soon as we saw it. Well, Zeus couldn't have been happier. He could not have, like, he knew exactly what to do. He fanned way out to the side. He had no tension on the leash. The leash was just, like, perfectly in a curved shape, harmonized with us. And that sort of solved all of the problems on the leash.
Right. And I guess conversely, when if you're walking down the street and all of a sudden this dog, stray dog, comes walking right at you. You talk about, and this happened with your first encounter with Zeus. You call it playing the angle. So you turn your body so you're not pointed directly at the dog. You leaned your back against the wall. You sort of turned sideways towards the dog, and you looked away from the dog. And again, you're communicating to the dog, you know, I'm totally non-threatening. I'm calm. You be calm. We'll pick up on some of the other signals, the secret language of dogs, with master dog trainer Jesse Sternberg. Enlightened dog training. Become the peaceful alpha your dog needs and respects on Coast to Coast AM.